Hey, this is Leo for actualized.org. And in this episode, I'm going to be talking about low quality consciousness versus high quality consciousness. See, the problem is, in general, is that society that you grew up in, your culture, feeds you such little pictures of what you're doing here on Earth, what your life is here for, that you don't even know what your prime directive is in life. What your prime directive is. People are so confused and so distracted and so busy chasing their tails around in circles that they don't even know the prime directive. You want to know the prime directive? And this applies to every single human being, and not just to human beings, but to basically all organisms. This is what life is all about. The prime directive is to increase the quality of your consciousness. That's it. That's it. It's that simple. To increase the quality of your consciousness. All life, and especially personal development, if you're a personal development junkie, boils down to this. This is what growth entails, is the development and increasing the quality of your consciousness, and everything else is a distraction. It's a distraction. And everything that happens to you in life, including the most mundane things, when you wake up in the morning and you go make yourself some cereal for breakfast, that right there is already a test of the quality of your consciousness. Every single action that you take in your life, every single domain of life that you interact with people in, family relationships, business relationship, friend relationships, the larger relationships you have politically with people and so forth, these are all, in a sense, tests and opportunities for you to either show up in low consciousness or in high consciousness. And these can be used to either raise your consciousness or to keep yourself in lower consciousness. And every human being starts out basically in low consciousness. And if you want high consciousness, you're going to have to work really hard your entire life, taking advantage of every single opportunity, all your relationships, all your career opportunities, all the business you do, all the money transactions you do, every morning you wake up, every decision you make about whether you're going to the gym or what you're putting into your body as far as food. All of that is little instances and opportunities for raising your consciousness higher and higher and higher and higher to ultimately get to extremely crazy high degrees of consciousness. And generally speaking, those organisms or systems which are not able to raise their consciousness sufficiently will ultimately die out by killing themselves. That's what will happen. So this is the game of life. It's to go from low to high consciousness. Now, the word consciousness, this is interesting. What does this word mean? Well, it's a pretty loaded idea. And there's different ways that it can be defined. But for the purposes of this episode, the context that I'll be talking about this in, I'm going to define it as follows. It's the degree of accurate perception that you have or don't have. So high consciousness means a degree of accurate perception. And if you think about it, perception is the only thing you have of reality. There's nothing else you have of reality but perceptions of it. And in fact, and this is a deeper point that I won't really go into in this episode, that's all you have. All you really have is consciousness. All you really have are perceptions. So now can you start to get a sense of how important this is? Because if you don't have accurate perception of reality, basically, the only true thing that there is, you got wrong. Can you see how that could create problems in your life? can you start to see and appreciate that consciousness is not just a wishful hippie concept, that it's actually the most tangible thing that we've got going, which is why it's so powerful and so important. Because if you can't perceive reality accurately, what do you got? You've got nothing. You've got nothing but your fantasies and delusions. So what I'm going to claim, this is a pretty radical claim, is that accurate perception is the key to living a good life. And that, in fact, it will solve every single problem in your life if you get an accurate enough perception of reality. And that every single problem you have in your life ultimately comes from inaccurate perceptions of reality and nothing else. Nothing else. It all boils down to this. So even stuff like relationship problems, family problems, health problems, business problems, money problems, these all boil down to inaccurate perceptions of reality. This is huge. But I don't really have enough time to go into all that. What I want to talk about is I want to talk about the difference between low consciousness and high consciousness so that you can see the quality differences between consciousness that are possible. And there's a huge range here. So let's start by defining the characteristics of low quality consciousness. The characteristics are ego and self-centeredness, first and foremost. Fear. Low quality consciousness is permeated with fear. Dogma, ideologies, rigid belief systems, clinging to ideas and pet theories. This is all a key hallmark of low quality consciousness. Also, little picture thinking. Seeing only little pieces of reality, but not seeing the whole thing from a bird's eye view. And of course, people with little picture thinking also are focused on short-term gains. So this is short-term gain thinking as well. Also, a blindness to backfiring mechanisms. So people with low-quality consciousness do not see how they shoot themselves in the foot with their own attitudes and behaviors. And in fact, they behave very arrogantly, thinking that their low quality consciousness is actually something for them to be proud of. You see? You can tell this, you know, like people who are very dogmatic, for example, say, oh, well, I'm really, stubborn about my faith, and that's a good thing. They actually turn all these negatives into positives. Also, a key characteristic of low-quality consciousness is mechanical behavior. Because the opposite of mechanical behavior is conscious behavior. So basically, you're behaving like a robot or a machine if you have low consciousness. Also, the degree of love that you exhibit is highly selective, and the way you treat people is highly unequal and non-democratic. So basically, you select your little clan and you love and care for your little clan, but then you basically are against the rest of the world, which is why we see a lot of partisanship and a lot of clan rivalry and so forth in cultures that exhibit low consciousness characteristics, right? Because this is one of the characteristics. They will love their family a lot, but they will hate the neighboring family if that neighboring family happens to be of a different skin color or of a different cultural background or of a different ethnicity or something like that. Also, low quality consciousness is characterized by moralization, having strict rules about what's right and what's wrong. Also characterized by projection onto others of all the limitations of the low quality consciousness. Because see, the low quality consciousness will not admit that it's a low quality consciousness. So the only option it really has is to either completely delude itself and deny that there are these limitations, but these limitations, they crop up, right? Because you can't hide them forever. Because the low-quality conscious inevitably comes and clashes with reality, and reality is stronger. So when that clash happens and the shit hits the fan, what the low-quality conscious will do is project all that onto everybody else, onto government, onto family members, onto spouses, onto friends, onto other races, onto other political parties, and so forth. And this is what creates that sort of anger and indignation and self-righteousness, and also scapegoating and blame. Also, the low-quality consciousness is highly materialistic. It's after material goals. It only understands and measures success and progress in life through material things, generally speaking. And it's also arrogant. Arrogant, not in the way that most people think. Mostly it's arrogant in its beliefs and what it feels is right. And it basically feels that it is correct while everything else out there is less than or wrong than it. And this arrogance makes it very difficult to then correct this state of low-quality consciousness, because low-quality consciousness won't admit any limitations, and so therefore it thinks it's the best that there can be, and that there's no better alternatives. But actually, there are much better alternatives. Speaking of which, let's now talk about high-quality consciousness. What characterizes this? Well, it's basically the polar opposite of what I just said. So firstly, selfless and giving. That's the hallmark characteristic of high quality consciousness. It's fearless and courageous. It's not worried about dangers and threats and all this sort of stuff because it's secure in itself. It's focused on direct experience over belief, which is what frees it from dogma. It's committed to truth and accuracy. It values learning and growing very highly, rather than tradition, which is what the low-quality consciousness mostly leans toward. Rather than being mechanical, high-quality consciousness, you could think of it as an intelligent machine. It's like a machine imbued with wisdom and foresight and intuition and vision. It's a machine that is creative in the sense that it can come up with novel and creative solutions on the fly rather than just following mechanical procedures. And in this respect, it's also spontaneous and sort of organic, because it doesn't predetermine all of its behaviors and actions. It is robust enough and creative enough to find those solutions on the fly. So think about some people. You know, some people are able to do that. They're able to be highly creative and flexible in situations. Those are conscious people. And some people are very rigid, and they can't handle it when they're faced with a novel, tough situation or challenge, and they crumble and collapse underneath it, or they become indignant about it. Like, how dare reality serve me up this surprise that wasn't in my procedure rule set, and see this sort of machine collapses, and that's why ultimately it dies. A high-quality consciousness takes 100% responsibility for its actions, behaviors, results, and how it feels, its emotions especially. The low-quality consciousness will always blame others for the negative emotions that it creates in itself, whereas the high-quality consciousness will recognize that all the negative emotions are created by it and are limitations of consciousness. And so therefore, if it wants to correct these negative emotions, it needs to raise its consciousness. And of course, a high-quality consciousness acknowledges that it's not the highest quality consciousness, and that there's a lot of room for growth, even higher. In this respect, it's humble rather than arrogant. It doesn't say that, oh, well, I'm high quality consciousness and I'm the best that there is and there's no further to go. No, it says there's miles more to go. High quality consciousness is big picture understanding. And when you have big picture understanding rather than little picture, you tend to think in terms of long-term gains rather than short-term gains. And also, you become hyper-aware of backfiring that happens within complex systems. You start to become aware that you are your own greatest enemy and that every action you take can be counterproductive. It could be you shooting yourself in the foot. And so you become hyper aware of these. You start to really watch out for those. And then when you see them, you ask yourself questions like, how can I prevent that in the future so that my actions don't backfire and come and bite me back in the ass? And of course, high quality consciousness is characterized by indiscriminate love. Not a clannish, localized love, but an indiscriminate love for everyone and everything, regardless of whether they're your family or they're your local school or your local government or your nation or your race, but everything, no matter how different it looks from you. And there's a larger caring and concern for entire ecosystems, not just for your little corner of the world that applies only to your little ego and to your little life. I want to read you a powerful quote from Thomas Campbell, which goes right to the heart of this issue of quality of consciousness. He says that love and joy do not dominate our feelings most of the time is normal, but not a good sign. Love, joy, peace, compassion, humility, and balance are the dominant expressions and feelings of a high-quality consciousness. Your feelings, and I'm also going to add here myself, your motivations too, always reflect the real you with perfect accuracy. If you feel anger, negativity, inadequacy, anxiety, that is a reflection of how you are and what you are on the inside, and not how other people make you feel. End quote. So the question is here, how high are you? And judging by the comments that people leave me on my psychedelic-related videos, not very high. So there's two key factors I want to share with you that are very important for gauging where your consciousness level is. I found that in my life, this is a huge revelation to know these, because these can tell me where I'm at so that I'm not tricking myself, and I can know, like, am I growing? Am I really growing? Or am I just bullshitting myself? The two factors are the quality of your feelings and the quality of your motivations. These things, like Thomas Campbell said, perfectly correlate and reflect what you really are on the inside, how really developed you are. So key insight number one from this episode is that emotions tell you exactly how you are. So how you feel right now and 5 minutes from now and 60 minutes from now and then 120 minutes from now and every single hour, those habitual feelings you have, how do you feel? Do you usually feel happy, or do you often feel depressed? Do you often feel anxious? Do you often feel pissed off at the world, or pissed off at your family, or pissed off at your spouse, for whatever reasons? That generally tells you your level of consciousness. And the more negative your emotions, the lower your level of consciousness, and the higher quality your emotions, the higher quality your consciousness. It's very simple. It's a very simple equation. But also, it can be very eye-opening when you actually see this at work. Don't just take this as a theory of mine. I want you to actually find this occurring in your life. Like, you stub your toe on the coffee table after you're done listening to me, and then you get mad at the coffee table and say, God damn it, that stupid coffee table, stub my toe on it again. And then you feel bad? Well, I want you to connect that to the fact that that tells you where your level of consciousness is at, believe it or not. It's not the case that everyone stubs their toe on a coffee table and then has the kind of negative reaction that you have. See? And that's just one example out of thousands that occur every single week in your life. So your emotions are like a fuel gauge or a barometer that tell you what's going on every single minute of your life. They tell you what's happening. The problem is that people don't really understand how to listen to their emotions. And what's worse is that people who have low quality consciousness generally suppress their emotions and are not aware of their emotions. So it's sort of like, imagine that you're like Homer Simpson's come to mind from The Simpsons. You know, like he's sitting in the nuclear power plant and he's looking at all those gauges on his console. And there's like the, you know, the core temperature of the nuclear reactor. And he has a little, you know, thermal gauge that tells him if it's overheating or whatever. And rather than sitting there and looking at the gauge and doing his job and carefully monitoring that gauge as though it's going to go into some sort of meltdown mode, you know, what he does instead is he sticks a sticker on it with a smiley face so that he never has to look at the gauge again. So no matter what the gauge is showing, he has a little fake smiley face sticker plastered on it. So that's what a low quality consciousness person does, is they do that. To the point where they numb their emotions so much that they don't even have a connection to the signals that they need to be listening to see how they need to be changing their life to follow the prime directive of living. And then, of course, you can see how that leads to disaster in their lives. And this is how most people fuck up their lives, is by doing exactly this sort of Homer Simpson phenomenon. There's also the second key insight that I want to hammer into you, which is that motivations, your motivations, tell you exactly how you are. Not even so much your actions, but your motivations. What are you pulled towards in life? Money, sex, greasy food, TV, easy entertainment, or giving, sharing, connecting, contributing, loving, expressing compassion and gratitude and generosity. You know? And these motivations also, I want you to notice them on a very micro level in your life. I don't just mean your very broad motivations, like you want to have a nice cushy career. Yeah, that tells you something about your level of consciousness, of course. But I mean more fine-grained. I want you to go through your day and every single hour, every single 15 minutes of your hour, look at what are you being motivated towards right then and there. Like, what are you motivated towards when lunch hour comes? What are you motivated towards when you first get to work in the morning? What are you motivated towards when you get off work and you come back home and you have some free time? These choices you're making throughout your day, these are what are defining your consciousness. And they reflect your level of consciousness. So you can't lie about these things. And that's why I love this concept that I'm sharing with you here, because this allows you to very accurately gauge where a human being is at. So not only can you apply these to yourself, which I highly recommend that you do, but you can also then, once you apply it to yourself and you see how it works in you, and maybe you're going to be shocked at how low your consciousness is compared to what you thought it was. That might be a bit of a rude awakening. But then you can apply this model to other people and you can very quickly sense, you know, this person that you're going to do business with. Is he a low quality consciousness person or high quality conscious person? Very easy to tell based on how he feels about his life, how he wears his emotions on his sleeves. You can read all that very easily from people, And also generally what his motivations are. You can read that pretty easily too. So here are some questions for how to measure consciousness in yourself and in others. How do I feel on an hourly basis? How loving am I? How fearful am I? How intellectually open am I? How well do I govern myself? Am I able to? So what that one means is, am I actually able to govern myself successfully, or do I fail? Can I get myself to successfully go to the gym, or will I fail? Can I get myself to successfully eat the right food that I want to eat, or will I fail? Can I get myself to work on that book project that I have, or that music project, or that film project, and get it done without a lot of resistance and inner turmoil, or will I fail? That one's very instructive. And also, how noble are my motivations? So when I'm going to work and I'm working on a project, what's motivating me to work on that project? Is it because I feel like this project will actually make a difference to humanity and the world? Is that my motivation? Or am I motivated because I don't want to get fired? Is that my motivation? Can you see the difference in quality there? That's a huge difference. Or like if I'm in my relationship, let's say I have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, and I have maybe an opportunity to sleep with somebody else, and I'm in this relationship, so like a long-term relationship. So if I am thinking about cheating on this person, what are my motivations there? Even if I don't cheat, was I motivated not to cheat because I was afraid that I would be caught and that I would lose this great person in my life, and therefore then I would lose something that I value? Or was I motivated not to cheat because I thought it was the wrong thing to do, and because I wasn't really even that interested in getting more sex? I wasn't really craving sex, so I didn't really need it, so therefore I had no desire to cheat. You see? So even though your action, in this case, the action was, I didn't cheat, but the motivations were very different. You see? In the end, you can't really suppress your true motivations and your true feelings for too long. You can do it for short periods of time. Like if you hate your job, you can still go to work and suppress that emotion of hatred for a while, but not forever. Eventually, it's going to bubble up to the surface in ways that you probably never anticipated. And it's going to snowball and snowball and snowball. And then it'll just slowly like creep in and corrode your entire career. Same thing with relationships. You can't hide your true feelings and motivations in long-term relationships. It'll eventually corrode that relationship. So these are some questions by which to measure consciousness. Now I want to address some questions, some kind of like common questions that people have on this topic. One question that I commonly get is something like, well, Leo, I just don't feel good in my life. I don't like life in general. What should I do? Well, listen to what I'm telling you here. When you tell me that you don't like your life or something about your life, what that tells me is that you have low quality consciousness. Why? Because that's a feeling you have, right? It's a feeling of dislike, of frustration, of anxiety, of hatred, of fear, of depression, of sadness, of apathy, whatever that, those are all emotions. So I want you to get good at reading that gauge that tells you like, oh, if I'm experiencing depression, that's telling me something about the quality of my consciousness. And what's the solution? To raise your consciousness. Now, I realize that's a bit generic as a solution. You're going to need to find a specific way to handle that. But at least I want you to see on a big picture level, like, oh, that's what it means. That means if I raise my consciousness, the depression will go away. See, a lot of people, they get stuck in depression. They think like, oh, I'm going to be depressed for the rest of my life. I don't know what to do about this. Maybe it's because my genetics. Maybe it's because I did something bad at my job. Maybe it's because my boyfriend left me. Maybe it's because I don't look as handsome and as sexy as all my friends, and therefore I should be depressed. No, it has absolutely nothing to do with any of that. Those are all illusions. You just got to really take it on faith, I guess, that this principle is true. I mean, I don't take it on faith. I actually can see very clearly how these things that I'm talking about are reflected in everybody I interact with in my life and myself, right? So for me, this is all it's all highly empirical stuff. But for you, if this is your first time coming into contact with these ideas, it might seem like this is just like some wild, far-fetched psycho theory, some psychobabble theory that you don't see any empirical connection with. But if you just kind of go around and you start to look, you'll start to see that everything I'm talking about is reflected in real everyday life. So that's that question answered. Another question is, but Leo, what about success? And what about pursuing sex and pursuing money? What's wrong with that? Nothing wrong with it per se, but it's the hallmarks of a low-quality consciousness. That's what that is. And you'll very soon learn, if you just do a little bit of investigating, that human beings with high-quality consciousnesses are not motivated very much by success, sex, or money. They just aren't. They've transcended those things. They've seen that these things are not inherently fulfilling, and that actually all these mechanisms backfire very dramatically on you if you overindulge in them or if you make them the prime directive of your life. If the prime directive of your life is success, you're going to waste your life. I guarantee it. And if the prime directive of your life is sex, you're going to waste your life. And that's going to lead to disaster in the end. And if your prime directive is money, that's going to be a wasted life. You're going to get far less out of life than you could have otherwise gotten. The problem is convincing a low consciousness person of this, because they're so certain that these things will actually work for them. So what do you do? Well, you need to transcend these cravings for these low consciousness things. Not out of any kind of moral obligation, not because these things are inherently evil or bad or wrong, or that you shouldn't do them, but simply because they're not nearly as fulfilling as what comes after them. And you might say, well, what comes after them? Well, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, you can be creative. You can contribute to the world. You can get involved with longer, deeper relationships and building connections with people, friendships, life purpose, having a career that's more than just about sex and money. And so, I mean, not sex, but success and money. Those are higher consciousness things. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of what higher consciousness looks like. You can go much, much higher than that. Another question people have is, but Leo, if I do what you're saying here, won't people walk all over me? Because I will no longer be defending my selfish interests so much. And so then I'll become a doormat and I'll be abused by all the selfish, egotistical people out there. So it sounds like the higher consciousness people will get abused by the lower consciousness people. This is a myth. That's actually not how it works. A high consciousness person is aware. They're not stupid. They're aware. People who are doormats and got walked all over, these are not high consciousness people. These are actually low consciousness people. These are people who have wounded egos, and so they have these neurotic patterns that allow them to be walked all over. And they're not conscious enough to see that the way that they're living and behaving and acting in their life, the way they're structuring their life, will backfire on them in one way, which is that people will walk all over them. People who are high consciousness do not get walked over easily. because they're fearless. So they're not afraid of confrontation. They're not afraid of enforcing boundaries. They're not afraid of insisting on what they feel they deserve in life, which is exactly what someone who's a doormat is afraid to do, generally speaking. So this problem just won't happen to you. In fact, if you are currently a doormat or a people pleaser and you get walked all over, raise your consciousness and then see what happens. That problem will resolve itself. Also, you might be wondering, but Leo, what about your life purpose course? How does this, seems like here you're talking about some sort of higher purpose, the prime directive. So if my prime directive is to be raising my consciousness, but then your life purpose course talks about like your career, how to develop a life purpose around the career, how do you reconcile that? Well, the answer there is that the life purpose course is designed to be pragmatic. If I make a course, it has to be pragmatic. And it's focused on getting you some tangible results around your career. What I'm talking about here as kind of like the prime directive of raising your consciousness as a human being, you might think of it as a more general, overarching life purpose, just as an organism that you have. Which means that even if you don't have a career, even if you're a bum on the street, or you decide to have no career at all, your prime directive should still be to be raising your consciousness. But, you know, in this day and age, we need to feed ourselves, and most of us actually like having careers, not just because we need them to pay our bills, which, of course, we do, but more than that, we want our careers to be an expression of our deepest values, and we want to be creative. We want to be creative in the ways that we like rather than the ways in which our boss likes. And so in that sense, that's what the course is helping you with, is to figure that out. And of course, that should be a high consciousness thing too, and that's what the course is helping you to do. So really, these things come together. You might think about like your career life purpose is what the course helps you to figure out. And then your personal purpose as a human being is generally to just raise your consciousness every single day. You wake up and you just ask yourself, okay, how can I raise my consciousness today? How can I improve its quality? Where is it low quality? What would it mean to go from low quality to high quality? How am I creating and sustaining low quality consciousness in my relationships, in my business, with my finances, and all the other facets of my life? So you might be wondering at this point, so how do I increase consciousness, Leo? Well, I'm going to give you the big picture. I can't go into all the details because actually that's what I cover in all my other episodes. So almost every single episode I release in some way or another helps you to see how you can increase your consciousness in some specific way, in some specific area of your life. But here I want to give you the big picture. The big picture is important so that you have like a roadmap, right? Because right now you've probably been living your entire life and nobody has given you a roadmap for where you're going. What's your ultimate destination? You don't know. But now you do. Your ultimate destination is high quality consciousness. It's a little bit of an abstract destination, so you got to be smart enough to then drill that down to specifics and to really understand what that means. But here are the broad strokes of how to increase your consciousness. Firstly, increase the capacity that you have to love. Also, secondly, increase your capacity to feel happy, independent of circumstances. That means that if you're sitting on a bench waiting for somebody, let's say, and they're late, and the bench doesn't feel very comfortable, it's like a hard metal bench, and you've been sitting there for a while, and now you're feeling kind of antsy, and your ass is hurting because you've been sitting for long on this bench, you don't feel happy, right? Generally in that situation. Well, that tells you what your level of consciousness is. So then your job in that moment is to figure out a way to increase your capacity to be happy with that situation. See? That would be just one little example of how you could apply this. Thirdly, to increase consciousness, increase your capacity to be intellectually open. which means that you're able to entertain ideas and opinions that are very different from ones that you hold or are familiar with, and that you're not clinging to any one of those. So I would call this open-mindedness, or even radical open-mindedness. Increase your capacity for that. So that if I come up here and tell you that I saw an alien or some paranormal activity has happened to me, and you would say, well, Leo, that's bullshit. We know that that's not real. That can't happen, right? So that if I tell you that, regardless of whether you think that that's possible or impossible, it doesn't trigger you emotionally, and that you're open to it. You're actually open to entertaining that possibility without getting all up in arms and pulling out the pitchfork and then writing me little nasty comments in the comments section and so forth. See? That's a capacity, a quality of high quality consciousness, is to be fully open, no matter how ridiculous something might seem that someone has said, and to be able to entertain it, not necessarily to accept it on blind faith, not even necessarily to believe it, but just to entertain it and to not be emotionally triggered by it. Fourthly, increase your capacity for self-governance. How effectively can you control your behaviors and actions when you decide to pull the trigger? That's huge. That's huge. And you probably are wondering, well, Leo, how do I increase my capacity for self-governance? That's a tall order to fill. There's a lot to talk about there. There's a lot of different techniques that can be used to do that. I mean, it's basically a lifelong process for doing that. But I have many episodes that tell you different techniques and methods for how to stop procrastinating, for example. I have an episode called How to Get Shit Done, How to Be a Strategic Thinker, and so forth. So, you know, I've got lots of content that help you to do that. Fifthly, increase your capacity to face fear. This is huge. You probably are not aware of yet, on a practical level, how much fear runs you in your life. Fear can be very subtle. Fear is not just something like, oh, I'm afraid of death, or I'm afraid of Donald Trump becoming president of the United States. It's not like that. There's much, much subtler fears that I'm talking about here, right? Very little fears, very little fears. You might just wake up in the morning and experience a fear that your spouse ate all the breakfast in the refrigerator, and so now there's nothing for you to eat on your way to work. And that might now motivate you to behave in a little selfish manner towards your spouse. Maybe you're going to be a little antsy, a little bit pissy, say some little insulting little thing, or be a little sarcastic or passive aggressive or something like that. A very subtle thing. But where did that come from? It was motivated by your fear, because you're not facing the fear of the prospect that there's no breakfast in the refrigerator in the morning. Yeah. So again, that's just one little example out of millions that you should be looking into. And sixthly, the way to increase your consciousness is to transcend selfish and protective motives. This is also a subtle one. You have to look out for this. Really watch your motives like a hawk to see how every little thing you do throughout your day, the little manipulations that you engage in, how those are being done to somehow boost up your ego and all the selfish little stuff that you have going on in your life, all the little personal stuff that you're worried about. You know, like maybe you wake up this morning and you want to rush to work. Why do you want to rush to work? Well, because you want to get to work early, so that you're the first person who gets to the computer and then gets to select your vacation days for the next month. Because maybe there's other people at work who are also vying for those same vacation days, and you want to get in a little bit earlier, just 10 minutes earlier, so that you could put in your request so that you could get the vacation days that you want and beat out all your coworkers. That would be an example of a very subtle selfish motive, and something that you would want to transcend to get to higher quality consciousness. Yeah, so I want you to notice the subtlety here and how these opportunities for self-actualization, for raising your consciousness, are arising almost every 5 or 10 minutes, every single hour, every single day of your life, on the weekdays and on the weekends and during your work days and your vacation days, right? There's no time off. If you really want to, and if you want to self-actualize quickly, then the biggest thing you can do is start to look for these micro opportunities. Don't be just focused on the big stuff. It's easy to get seduced by the big stuff and think like, well, I'm just going to wait till I'm enlightened and then all my problems will be solved. And until then, I'm just going to behave like a selfish jackass. That's not going to fly. And also, like, you might think, well, when I go to that retreat or that workshop or that seminar that I have scheduled 3 months from now, that's when I'm really going to do a lot of growing. And until then, I'm just going to be an unconscious mechanical robot doing all these selfish low consciousness things. You're missing so much opportunity for growth there. See, when you actually tune your mental filter to start to see all these opportunities you're missing, it'll be kind of shocking. Might feel kind of bad at first because you'll feel like, man, there's so much stuff. I can't even understand how I'm going to take care of all this because it requires a lot of attention and energy for me to be monitoring all this stuff on a minute by minute basis in my life. And then actually thinking of how I can turn it around from low consciousness into high consciousness. That requires a lot of focus and mental energy that wears me out throughout the day. Living my life that way, it's much easier to just kick back, unwind, and run mechanically through my day. So at first, it might seem overwhelming. It might seem kind of depressing. But don't worry. I'm not saying that you have to be perfect here. You don't need to catch every single opportunity. There's going to be way more opportunities than you'll be able to make use of. But even just 5-10% more of catching of these opportunities throughout your day is going to be very eye-opening for you, and it's going to increase your level of development by twofold, by threefold, by fivefold, if you actually start to become mindful of these things. So now you have the big picture. This is the big picture of human life. I've kind of just given it to you without explaining exactly why this is the prime directive of human life is to increase consciousness. I'll tackle that issue more in depth in future episodes. Here, I just want you to kind of sort of take it on faith. And by that, what I mean is take it on as a tentative hypothesis. So you can still be skeptical. Basically, I want you to kind of take this on and say, well, okay, so Leo presented me with some model here. Now, let me take this model. Let me not just not believe it blindly. Let me adopt it as a tentative hypothesis and let me walk around for a week in my life and just see if stuff fits this model. Also, maybe let me think about back into my life, into my dealings with my family and my boss and my coworkers and so forth. And let me just put that through the filter of this model and see if stuff clicks and makes sense. What I'm claiming is that you'll have a lot of clicking in your mind and it'll be like, oh, of course, that's what's going on. That's why that person cheated on me, or that's why that person screwed me over in business. Or that's why I wasn't able to have a successful friendship with this person here. It's because we were at different levels of consciousness. So this should start to explain a lot. And of course, don't just apply it to other people. First and foremost, apply it to yourself. This is the big picture now. You have the roadmap for all of life. I hope you can see the power of this. This is the magic key to all of life. You've been given it right here. So don't forget it. Don't fall back asleep. What I recommend is that you like write this on your bathroom mirror in big bold letters. The prime directive of my life is to increase the quality of my consciousness and then to focus on that every single day and to work to embody that until your entire mode of living from morning to the time you go to bed at night is all about looking for opportunities to increase your consciousness rather than what most people do is, what do? They look for opportunities to get a little bit of pleasure or to avoid a little bit of pain or to maybe earn a little bit more money or to have a little bit more sex, this sort of stuff. That's mostly what you're focused on in your day, isn't it? Or just like juggling balls. A lot of people are just so busy. It's just like juggling balls. How do I take the kids to school? How do I get up to work on time? How do I get back on time? How do I have dinner with my wife and this and that? So it's just like you're juggling balls all day. But you're forgetting that your prime directive is increasing consciousness. You can juggle balls for a decade and you're just going to waste a decade of your life not increasing consciousness. And in fact, your consciousness is going to get lower and lower and lower if you're not working on it on a habitual basis. So now you know, and you have no excuses. All right, that's it. I'm signing off. Post your comments down below. I'd love to read them. Click the like button for me right now. Share this episode with a friend. And lastly, come sign up to actualize.org right here. This is my newsletter. I'm releasing new in-depth content every single week for free about how to raise your consciousness in essence, how to self-actualize. Start taking action on the things that I'm talking about. Make sure that you're not just sitting around week by week, only just listening to video after video after video after video. No, you got to start to take action. If you think the videos are cool and interesting and fascinating just from watching them, try implementing them. And then come back and watch some more. And then your mind will really be blown at how deep and fascinating it is. Because there's a lot of layers of depth to all of these concepts that I talk about. You could listen to this right now. You can spend the next year implementing all this stuff I talked about just in this one episode. Come back, watch this episode again next year, and your mind will be blown by all the stuff you missed watching it just now. And then you can do that for another year, come back again 2 years later, and your mind will still be blown at how much you missed. Because this stuff is so multi-layered and it's so powerful when you get deeper, deeper, deeper past the surface, right? To break past the surface, you need to start taking action. So stay with me, take action, continue watching, and you will grow to extraordinary heights and you will accomplish the prime directive, which so few people do. And then the quality of your life, the emotions you feel will reflect that. I guarantee it. All right? So stick around and I'll see you soon with more.